2 weeks from tonight, we are going to start on Wednesday nights what it means to flow in the gifts of the Spirit. Okay, practical application. The Bible says over in Rome, in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, let's go over and look at it. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we can use this as kind of part of our teaching tonight here. Just kind of as a prelude to get into this. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and if we'll look at verse 7, it says this, "But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one." Somebody say each one. Say, I'm in each one. It's not given to each minister. It's not given to each apostle. It's not given to each leader. It's given to each one to profit, for the profit of all. So the manifestation, the gift of the Spirit is given to you to profit everybody else. It's not given to you to profit you. Amen. And so he lays it out. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the same Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues or languages. To another, the interpretation of those languages. But look at verse 11. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing, look at this, distributing to each one individually as He wills. And so, some people have misinterpreted this to mean that, you know, they old-time Pentecostals would go around and saying, okay, so what gift do you have? Oh, well, I've got discerning of spirits. What about you? Well, I've got word of wisdom. What about you? I've got word of knowledge. As if that was a defined gift that was stamped on you, and that's it. No, that's the wrong thinking. What gift is needed in a situation? What gift is needed in a ministry situation? You have access to all nine of those gifts. Why? Because you have access to the Holy Spirit who flows through you unhindered to be able to minister to other people and to be able to minister wherever you are, in your workplace, in the marketplace, all over the place, all over the place. I like that too. You get to minister and let the Spirit of God flow through you. How cool would it be to be in Walmart and God give you a word of knowledge for somebody, and you just say to them, hey, I just really got this impression, you know, is this right that maybe you're having trouble with your husband, or you're having, and you go with that, and they just break down, and you're able to minister a word of life to them that sets them free in a moment outside of these four walls. Mm-hmm. Wouldn't that be awesome? Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to start learning how that happens in your life. Give you the opportunity to step out in this place, in a safe place, in a safe environment where nobody's going to judge and nobody's going to criticize and nobody's going to make fun. Because if you aren't willing, if you can't step out and just go for it right here amongst people that love you and that's, you know, and we're all growing together, then you're really not going to do it outside of these four walls. Okay? So we'll talk through those things. I'll show you scriptural example. I'll show you how it happens. What we're going to do is on the teaching portion, we'll do live stream. But if you're really wanting to be involved in the activation of it and in the learning of it, and let me just tell you straight up, the learning doesn't happen by just absorbing teaching. Okay? It's the same way like learning how to play a sport or learning how to operate in any particular skill. You know, I've said this before, you can use tennis as an example. You can watch all the YouTube videos, you can read all the books, you can even go out to the court and have a teacher that shows you the strokes, you know, demonstrates them to you, and then you can wake up the next morning and say, I'm a tennis pro because I know it all. Step out on the court and let's find out just how skilled you are. right? So what are we saying? You have to apply it. You have to practice. You have to learn, you know, and the Bible talks about having your, let's go over to Romans chapter 5. As I'm advertising this, I'm also teaching you. Okay, so this is not just an advertisement for 2 weeks. I'm in teaching mode right now. All right, so that you'll learn some things. Turn with me over to Hebrews chapter 5. Sorry, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5. Now, this isn't just about walking in the gifts of the Spirit. This actually has to do with your growth in the things of God. In verse 12 of Hebrews chapter 5, it says, For though by this time you ought to be teachers, there was an expectation that growth was to happen in their lives. And this is talking about a body of believers, a church group. This is written to the Hebrews, probably to the church at Jerusalem, would be my guess. But that there ought to be growth in them to the point that now they are teaching others. Guys, let me just say to you that for you, that there's always this expectation that you grow to the place, not that you're always being taught, but that you are teaching others. Thank you for all of those amens. Thank you for that zeal and that excitement. That you are to duplicate yourself. You are to disciple other people. You are to share what is in, you know, what God has done for you. We are to, in Matthew chapter 5, we are to let, it says, your light shine. Let your light shine before men that they may see your good works. So how do you let your light shine? So that they may see that they're going to see your good works. They're going to see the lifestyle that you're living. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 tells us that we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Our life should reflect Christ, should reflect Him as we look to Jesus, as we see Him, as we see how He walked on the earth, how He moved on the earth, what He did. He said, "He that believes on me, the works that I do, shall he do also, and greater works than these, because I go to the Father." If you are a believer, the expectation on you, the possibilities that you have, is to do the works of Jesus. Like so many people in so many groups are waiting for the day to see miracles and waiting for the day to see revival and waiting for the day. Like one day we're going to get there. We're going to be the bride of Christ and it's going to be awesome and hallelujah. But we're not there yet. And so as movements, as groups, as churches, we're just always trying to, you know, eventually try to get there when there's an expectation from Jesus that they that believe on me, the works that they do, that he did, we will do also. So how do we do those works? How do we do that? How do we get to that point? Do we just have an aha moment where the angels are singing and the light shines down from above and you are now anointed to do the works of the Lord and you go out? You know, when I was growing up, there was a minister by the name of Bobby Jo Hamilton was her name. And just this firecracker for the Lord. And so she came to our church and she told the story. She grew up in a house, I think, of 9 brothers and sisters. And they had 1 bathroom in this house. And so, I mean, it was a tight squeeze. Yeah, right. She loved Catherine Kuhlman. She loved some of those greats. And she just had a heart to go out. And she wanted to see miracles. And she wanted to see healings. And she wanted to do those kinds of things. But the only place that she could get any privacy to pray would be in the bathroom. And so here she is spending hours in the bathroom, crying out to God, kneeling at the toilet. That was the throne room for her. But here she is crying out to God, please use me to heal the sick. Use me, you know, for your glory. Use me, Father, use me, use me. Day after day, cry out. And one day as she's kneeling there and she's crying out to God, and God, use me, she heard God say, Bobby Joe, the toilet's not sick. She was waiting for a word from God. She was waiting for God to move on her. God's waiting for her to move, because God already moved 2,000 years ago. See, you know, I've been, and we'll continue on here in a moment, but I've been studying in my own personal time some great revivalists. You know, people are always sometimes hungering for revival. They want to see revival. And so I kind of want to have a conversation with you and talk to you about some things that the Lord's just showing me tonight. And I think that it would encourage you and that it will help you, okay? And so somebody gave me a book, and somebody like John Wesley, for instance, has really been somebody that I've always been kind of intrigued with. His ministry, and man, I mean, he just turned England around for God right there. I'm talking about in the early 1700s, and was the founder of the Methodist denomination. Although they don't resemble what he was teaching, you know, nowadays, but you know, and I think that God's working in that, and that's it's interesting. Brad and I were talking about some things that are going on, you know, as people are wanting to come back to the roots of what John Wesley preached. But part of the thing is, you look at it and you look at these great men of God. Some people want to say that revival started because of prayer. Prayer. People prayed for, you know, there's one group that prayed 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, over in the area of Germany for 100 years. 100 years. How would you like it if I said, guys, we're going to start a 24 hour a day, 7 day a week, and 100 years from now, we can expect God to move? But they did that for 100 years. Isn't that interesting? And then all of a sudden, revival, you know, spread like wildfire. And so the point of the author of this book is to show where prayer was the precursor to revival. And as I'm reading through it, I'm not seeing that to be the case at all. That prayer was not the precursor to revival. That you're trying to pray for God to do something. God move. God do this. God do. Let me tell you what prayer does. Prayer doesn't cause God to move. Prayer just gets me aligned with what God has already done, and then I start to move. And so those times of prayer, like for instance, we pray every Saturday morning here at 9 o'clock for an hour. I invite anybody to come and be a part. It is powerful. We've been doing it now for almost 2 years. And I was one of those that that God didn't give me a big word. Hey, Mark, you need to pray every week. It was a suggestion from somebody. So I just thought, you know what? Why not? Let's do it for a month and let's see how it goes. That was 2 years ago. Why? Because I have set aside that time, you know, that my cell phone doesn't ring, you know, that I'm not listening to anybody. I am just focused on God. I am listening to His voice. I get to pray together with precious men and women of God as we're brothers and sisters. I get to hear what God's saying to them, you know, and we get to talk together about these things. And it has transformed my life. Why? Because God was waiting for me to pray so He could move? No, because prayer, what it's done is it has so aligned me, and I hear His voice better now today than I did 2 years ago. And it becomes a weekly thing that now I'm just captured with the heart of God. And so what happened with this group of people that had prayed for 100 years is they decided, you know, what we need to do is we got to take this to the world. And so they started going out, you know, and sending missionaries to places that had never heard of Jesus, that had never heard the gospel. I mean, they were so wanting to get this out that they went out to places like Iceland and other islands. Two of them wanted to go to the Virgin Islands, and at that time, obviously, slavery was in existence, and so they wanted to go and preach the gospel to the slaves. And they found out they were denied. They were denied access to preach the gospel to the slaves. The slave owner said, no, we don't want you preaching the gospel. You know, we don't want you preaching to them at all. We are denying you entry to that. The government agreed with them and denied them entry into that. So these two men, instead of giving up and saying, okay, I guess we need to go somewhere else, do you know what they did? They sold themselves into slavery. They sold themselves into slavery so that they could reach a group of people that had never heard the gospel. Wow. That tells me, I mean, that shows me a group of people that was captured with God. But because of what they did, John Wesley found himself in the company of a group of people and saw people that were saved, argued with them about works versus grace, found out that grace was the way. And when he got saved, he was a preacher. He was the first pastor of Savannah, Georgia. And, you know, and it was a miserable failure. He was not saved when he was pastoring. True story. It wasn't till he ended up going back to England that he began to understand grace, put faith in Jesus Christ. God saved him, and this man, as a result of all of that, rode over his lifetime 240,000 miles on horseback to preach to people. Preached over 40,000 messages. Would be out there and go to the coal miners that weren't allowed in church, and he went to the people that needed to hear the gospel. To the people. And so in the middle of that, the Church of England, the religious people, were authorizing mobs to go and to try to kill him and to throw stones and to disrupt and to protest and things like that. And he continued to preach. He was persecuted like very few people have been persecuted. Yet because of what his perseverance and because of his passion, I want you to see that what happened, revival took place, not because John Wesley was a man of prayer, although he was. It was because he was a man of action. We got Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and prayer. No. What's the fifth book? Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and what?
Acts.
Acts. See, what I want you to get from this is that You have a gift. You are part of the body of Christ. You are the hands and feet of Jesus. And this church, this body, isn't just to be a church where you come and get fed and that's it. And we continue to do the traditional thing. It is about being active. It's about going out into the community. It's about finding people who are lost, people who are not saved, who are not Christians, or finding people who are struggling and finding people who are depressed, finding people who are oppressed. As we ministered at the Love Lady Center on Monday, listen to me, as I was ministering there, we had a young lady there. Guys, this is what I'm talking about. We had a young lady there that, in the middle, as I'm talking about the goodness of God and as I'm talking about the grace of God, she said, I can't let go of my hate. I can't let go of the hate that I have for myself. I've lost my family. I've lost my children. And all of it due to because of my choices and what I've done. I deserve what I'm going through right now. And so I have to hold on to this pain and this hate that I have for myself. These are the people that need to hear the gospel. Amen. These are the people that need to know the love of God. These are the people that need to be set free. I just told her, I said, listen. I said, you're beating yourself up I said, yeah, you deserve everything that's happened. Absolutely. I'm not going to disagree with you. I said, but while you're beating yourself up and while you're hating yourself and why you can't forgive yourself and why you think you need to hold on to the pain and the hurt and the anger and all of those things, I said, I want you to understand that while you're beating yourself up, 2,000 years ago, Jesus hung on a cross and he was beat up for you. He took that beating. You're doing something to yourself that Jesus already had done to him. And when it comes to salvation and when it comes to the kingdom, there's no such thing as a double beating and a double jeopardy. I mean, he took it. You can either receive it and you can accept it. God said, I have removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. I will remember your iniquities no more. And so you have a choice whether you're going to receive that or believe that. And let it go. You've got to learn. And people need to know this. But you know, they may not hear it right here. They may not be here on a Wednesday night. They may not be watching by live stream. They may not even know a church like this exists. They may not dare step into the doors of a church because they have been hurt and wounded by church. So who's going to go to them? Who's going to be the hands and the feet of Jesus? Who's going to live life with them? Amen. It's kind of serious, right? But how much do you think that the Father wants his children, the people that are lost, to come into the kingdom? And so here he says in verse 12, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. That is just a warning and an admonition to us that we stay in a place that we're feeding ourselves, that we stay in a place that that we don't lose what we've been taught. How do we not lose it? How do we not lose it? How do we not find ourselves in a place that we need to hear those first principles again, that we forget those things? You know what? Jennifer says you use them. Any skill, you know, some of you that are skilled in your profession, you know, Eddie here, is a master electrician. Through years and years of doing it, it's now second nature to him. He automatically knows, you know, what to do. He doesn't have to go back to school to learn how to be an electrician again. He can actually turn around and he can train others. See? And so the more we use and the more that we operate in the things that we've heard, that's when they become real to us. That's when they become part of us. That's when we live the life that Jesus has for us and that he's promised us. So he said, you've gotten to this place that you need these to be taught the first principles of the oracles of God, and you've come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled. Look at that. Is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Now, we're going to talk about this because being skilled in the word of righteousness, and I'll get to at the beginning of April, I'm going to do a whole series on this because, guys, you have to be skilled in the word of righteousness. Guilt, shame, and condemnation, or even wrong identity, or even just fear, or even just not sure, or just, you know, all of these things, it's because you're not skilled in the word of righteousness. Do you know that you can come to a place that you recognize that you are so holy, blameless, righteous, cleansed, justified, glorified, and all of that, that you are just walking in absolute freedom of wrong thoughts, of bad thoughts, of depression, of oppression? Like, you don't have to live life always fighting the devil. You live life surrounded by the favor of God. Amen. All the time. Amen. Free, full of joy, I mean, there's time and time again, Jesus said, I've spoken these things to you that your joy would be made full. I want you to have fullness of joy. And it's joy unspeakable and full of glory. Do you know that you can live that way, that even on a rainy, nasty day like today, you can live excited, joyful? Hello.
Yes.
Praise God that your mood doesn't have to be based on what's going on around you. Your mood is based on what happened 2,000 years ago and who God made you.
Yeah.
Amen. So righteousness. You know what? I think this is awesome. You know what I'm going to call the series on righteousness? Ready for this? Squeaky clean. Squeaky clean. And no, I'm not going to put in an earring, and I'm not going to wear a t-shirt like Mr. Clean. For those that have thought. All right, check this out. Verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, and he is a baby. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is those, here it is right here, who by reason of use, see, there's that word, who by reason of use have their senses, their soul realm, their natural body, their thought processes, all of those things, they have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So it's by using what you know that will cause you to grow. It's not just hearing. It's by using what you know that will cause you to be a mature Christian so that God can entrust to you more and more, more revelation. So Psalm 23 says this, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Right? What's the next verse say? He, I don't know what it says, y'all tell me. It's either he leads or he makes, one of the two. He leads me. Can we pull that up? Psalm 23, 2. Nobody knows Psalm 23. Psalm 23, verse 1. We'll go at the very beginning. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Here it comes. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me. There it is. He makes me. Anytime God gets involved in your life, anytime he speaks to you, it's to make you something. Amen. He makes you. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Let's go to the next verse. He restores my soul. Look at the next phrase. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Let's go on. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. And I want you to get this picture because he's leading you. He's leading you. He's leading you. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. You say, well, Pastor, does that mean he's going to lead me through dark times? He's going to lead me through the valley of the shadow of death? No, 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 and no. It means that he is, that whatever happens in the world, that when the Lord is your shepherd and the Holy Spirit is leading you and guiding you, he is helping you navigate between those things that you can't see. He knows what's coming. He knows what's out there. He knows where the rocks and the crevices and the gullies and the ditches and all those things are. And so what he does is he leads you into the right path so that you don't fall in the ditch, so that you don't stumble over the rock, so that wild animals and so that the attack of the enemy and all of those things won't have access into your life. I get to walk surely. I get to walk confidently. I get to not fear what's ahead of me, not fear what's around me. Why? Because the Lord is leading me. Glory to God. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, because you're leading me, I will fear no evil. For, and this is why, you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they bring me comfort. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Let's go on. Surely, surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I'll dwell in the house of the Lord forever. What I want you to see in the picture here of righteousness is the Lord, your shepherd. He's not leading you to sit in church and to sit at home watching things on TV and listening to stuff. And he's leading you to action. He's leading you to a place. He's leading you. You follow him. And where is Jesus found? And what is he wanting to do? And it's always to lead you into a place that you can grow and that you can become mature. You don't stay, you know, a baby lamb. You become a mature sheep, you know, that is doing what you are gifted and that you are called to do. But he's the one that leads. He leads. He leads. There's another scripture that says, thanks be unto God who always leads me into triumph. He always does that. Always, 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 always. Somebody say always.
Always.
And so this word was on my heart this afternoon about the leading of the Lord. Now Sunday morning we'll be talking about hearing the voice of God and continuing on with that. But I want you to recognize that you are somebody that daily you should be led by God. Daily he wants to lead you. He wants to lead you beside still waters. He wants to make you lie down in green pastures. He wants to lead you to destinations, to people, to places. And only as you are listening and only as you are following and in that situation, you're comforted, you're at peace, you're at rest, and goodness and mercy, they're following you. So I think it's just awesome, man. Here's the shepherd. There's Jesus. I'm following him. And if I look around, goodness and mercy are following me. Like I'm just surrounded by the goodness of God all the time. Amen. I'm comforted. I'm excited. It's awesome. And so right back there in Hebrews 5, what does it say? By reason of use, you become skilled in the word of righteousness. You become skilled in the things of God. Well, 2 weeks from now, we're going to step into becoming skilled in things that have been given unto us, the gifts of the Spirit. And some people are like, you know what, I'm good. I don't want that. You know, what you will only rise as high in your understanding of the things of God to as far as your desire goes. If you don't want more, and if you don't want to experience more, guess what? God's not going to force you to experience more. God is so good and God is so loving that he doesn't force himself on people. He gives you that opportunity, that choice. But he's always wanting to gently lead you into more, to discover more, to know more, to be an able minister of the gospel. Yeah. I think sometimes maybe in church we have too many self-centered Christians. They're kind of waiting till they get their life right, till they're getting themselves fixed up, till they're experiencing all of God's goodness for themselves before they'll ever go out and talk to anybody else about it or they'll ever let themselves be used. Can I tell you that my journey is, you know, I was raised in church. And most of you, I mean, you know my journey, but I want to reemphasize it. I was raised in church, a good church. A good family. I mean, this church, but you know, I mean, learning the Word of God, learning the importance of the Word of God. The Word of God was, you know, it was the pinnacle of everything and the good teaching and all of that. But it never produced in me a desire to go out to others because I was still trying to obtain for myself. Okay? And so because I was never in a situation where I had to teach others or I had to share with others, I basically stayed stagnant. If you know, with all this rainwater and stuff like that, if it comes up against a wall and can't move and can't flow anymore, and if that water just stays there for days after days after days, what's it going to do? It's going to stink. A lot of Christians stink because they are stagnant and they've become marshes and not rivers. See? But God, in His goodness and in His mercy, said, you know what? We need to give Mark a little kick. Get him out of the nest, his spiritual nest, and get him to actually start ministering to people. And so 8 years ago, he said, I want you to pastor now. And I said, no, thank you. I haven't got it yet. I haven't figured it out yet. I don't have answers for people yet. You know what I'm saying? And so I wasn't the one that was looking to minister. But can I tell you that by just saying yes to God and stepping in, and God had to just take me little bit by little bit. First, you know, being scared to pastor here, you know, at the time, 50 people or so, you know, and being very timid about that. I would have never ministered at a place like the Love Lady Center. I would have never gone down there. You know, I would have been more afraid of them than they would have been of me. But the goodness and the grace of God and the faithfulness of God is when I said yes to Him and started doing it, gifts began to rise up. Yeah. Things started happening. All of a sudden, I became skillful out of reason of use. And I have more growth 2011, 2014, and on because of stepping out, doing things I was uncomfortable with, ministering to others than at any other time in my life. Think about it. When God called me, I was 42 years old. I'd lived 40 years as a Christian with no real meaningful growth in my life. 40 years. And 7 years of growth eclipses all 40 years combined simply because I stepped out. So I'm really trying to encourage you tonight. 2 weeks from now, this is going to be a place to learn how to follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He leads you. He guides you. This is a place to step out, hear the voice of God. We're going to take everything that I'm saying on Sunday morning about hearing God's voice and give you the opportunity to step out and to hear and to be used. Now, how many is excited about that? How many wants to be a part of that? This is going to be awesome. So I encourage other people to come and be a part. We're going to do it. You know, this isn't a 3 week or 4 week thing. We're going to do this for 3 months. Okay? 3 months. March, April, May. And then June the 8th and 9th, we're going to have a Voice of God weekend with Daniel Amstutz and a prophetic ministry by the name of Joseph Z on a Saturday. It's all day activation and stuff like that. And then the next month, we're going to have a Grace Conference with Sean Bowles, and it's going to be awesome. And then the next month, we're going to have Mary Fran, the prophet, here. And then the next month, we got confirmation that I've got a minister who pastors a 6,000 member church in September, flows in the prophetic, flows in the words of knowledge, will be here on Sunday, September the 29th. God's just done so much. God's doing so much. So I wanted to encourage you by looking at these scriptures that it's going to be by reason of use, but you don't have to wait for 2 weeks. Okay? 2 weeks is great, but you know, some people are just bold enough just to say, I don't want to wait for 2 weeks. I'm just going to go out and let God use me. Man, be that kind of person. Be a Peter that says, get me out of this boat and let me come out there where you are. He wasn't waiting till he had 3 months of hands-on training. He was just like, let's go. Let's go for this thing. So we can do that. Amen. Amen. So I just want to pray with you. This is what was on my heart tonight, just to begin to to share with you these things, encourage you, you know, to hold on to what God has placed in you by reason of use. You grow by reason of use. You're learning to let the Holy Spirit lead you, to guide you. And here's what happens as you step into this place, then you're going to start hearing Him in the little things in life. You'll say, oh, that's His voice. Well, then I'm going to go this. I'm going to do this. And you will experience a life with Him that you didn't even think was possible. That's what Jennifer and I have experienced. Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we just honor You. We thank You, Father. Lord, I'm just the people that I've come in contact with, you know, just in the last week, that so need to hear about Your love and so need to hear about Your goodness, and people that I will be meeting with, you know, the rest of this week that have struggled and that that need help. They need You, Father. They need You. Father, let us be in a position to where we can be used by You, that we can extend Your hands. Extend Your hands through us to heal people. Let Jesus get all the glory. Let us be in a place that Your power flows unhindered and flows freely, because we have a true understanding of righteousness, that we become skillful through the use of this, and as we continue to step out. Let us remove, you know, or help us remove from, you know, from us this thought of, well, what will people think? Or what about my reputation? Or what if I miss it? Or what if I mess up? Or this. In other words, I'm asking, Father, that Holy Spirit, that You just open our eyes and help us just get over ourselves and not make ourselves as part of the equation. Let us not think about us and somehow insert us into what needs to happen, because Jesus, it's all about You. It's about You getting glory. It's about us walking in a manner that's worthy of the calling that You've called us to. It's us being a light, showing forth, your script. You said that as we let people see through the good works, that they will glorify God, that they would glorify You, that, Father, that people would see You in our lives, in Jesus' name. And Father, I just pray right now for people watching by live stream, people that are here, people that may watch this later. But let us move out of a place of complacency. Help us to be so captured with Your goodness. Be so captured with Your grace. Be so captured with Your love for us and for everybody else, Father, that we're not just going to live life like normal, do life like normal, that we would say yes, yes to You, yes to being the answer to the problems of our generation, yes to being the answer to the problems of our community, yes to being the answer to the problems at our workplace and for those people that we come in contact with, you know, that we would accept the call, that we would say yes to the call and not hope that call, you know, somebody else answers, but that we say yes, and that instead of looking at things and saying, well, why us or why me, Lord, that we would actually say, why not me? Why not me? Why not me? Jesus, be magnified in everything that we do right now. Thank You, Father. And if anybody is here that's been dealing with sickness, anybody watching by live stream right now, I command the sickness and the disease to leave in Jesus' name. I command oppression, depression to leave in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank You for the light of Your glorious gospel and the healing power of God and the life of God to actually flow right now into their bodies in Jesus' name, rooting out anything that doesn't belong, anything that's not part of your kingdom, that it's gone in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. We receive that now in Jesus' name. I'm just impressed to pray over finances, Father, that those that are dealing with some financial difficulty, that are needing to make decisions, that right now I thank you, Father, that anything that's been held up is released now in the name of Jesus. I thank you that they live under open heavens, that Father, they have under open heavens, hearing your wisdom, the leading of the Holy Spirit, and everything that they do, it prospers, everything that they do is blessed, and the devourer is rebuked for their sake because they are now in the kingdom of God. Jesus became the curse, and so they cannot operate under the curse anymore in the name of Jesus. That any child of God, if they'll recognize it, if they'll believe, operates under your blessing and in your blessing in Jesus' name. So, Father, I thank you for an abundance. I thank you for overflow right now in their lives, and I thank you for clear direction in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name.